This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking today with candidates for Hamilton County Prosecutor, former State Representative Connie Pillich, a Democrat, and Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers, a Republican. You'll hear the interviews in the order they were recorded. Former State Representative Connie Pillich joins me in this recorded interview to talk about why she's running for prosecutor. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So you're a U.S. Air Force veteran, you've served as a state representative, you've worked as a public defender. What made you decide to run for the prosecutor's office, an office that Republicans have held in Hamilton County for 92 years?
92 years is quite a stretch, yes. Well, and that's part of the problem. I really have two reasons for running. One is I'm just very committed to public safety. I've been trying to be of service in that realm my entire adult life. As a military officer, I felt like I was protecting Americans. As a public defender, I was part of the system to make sure that justice was administered fairly. As a state representative, I certainly fought hard to protect victims and to protect our police officers as well. So it really is a natural step for me. But what really motivated me is that I don't feel that the office as it's currently structured is keeping us safe. Just in the last 20 months, give or take a few days, 5 murder convictions were reversed. And unfortunately, they were reversed because the prosecutor cheated. And I found that to be appalling and reprehensible. So I decided it was time for new leadership, and I thought I have the right experience for that job.
Prosecutor Melissa Powers, your opponent, has just released a television ad that points out you've not been a prosecutor, says inexperienced prosecutors are going soft on crime, and says you let your law license expire. How do you respond to all that?
I did not let my law license expire. I will tell you what happened. First of all, I've been consistently licensed to practice law for 24 years. But 2 days before Christmas in 2022, my husband was in the ICU with a very serious and very scary health emergency. And I realized that I could not focus on work and focus on him. So I did turn my license off for a handful of months until he was ready to go back out on the golf course, which was about June of 2023. So that's really what happened. It was something I had to do to take care of my family. As far as the other threats, the other criticisms she's levying at me, I certainly handled felony cases as a public defender for close to 6 years. But I also had a private practice where I did prosecute cases, but they were in civil court. And if you don't think that's sufficient, then you should talk to some of the banks I sued so I could get the homes of my clients back from predatory lenders, or talk to the corporations I sued who wrongfully fired my clients. I think they would all say that I know how to put a case together and succeed.
Why do you think it's important to have this change in leadership at the prosecutor's office?
Well, as you said at the beginning, it's been the same guys in charge, same old boys club in charge for 92 years. And there is a lot of institutional culture in that office that is not healthy for our justice system. I told you about the 5 overturned murder convictions. It's still going on. Those 5 convictions and reversals were covered by the Cincinnati Inquirer. But in April, a rape case was reversed because the prosecutor didn't turn over evidence. In June, a petty theft shoplifting case was reversed because of evidence issues. And we also saw in June exactly how this office has become very political when a well-connected political suspect beat up 2 older people in a parking lot in front of witnesses. Parts of it were captured on video, and it was highly publicized. And my opponent, the sitting prosecutor, didn't do anything for weeks. It took her about 5.5 weeks to figure out that she could actually appoint a special prosecutor. I don't know why she doesn't know she can do that. She's got investigators on staff. Her office runs the grand jury. Did she not know that either? I don't know. But she certainly was playing politics with that. And that's one that we found out about. If that had been anyone in this building committing such an offense, we'd be locked up that day. It took 3 months for them to indict him. And it was only because the family spoke up, and after another couple weeks, I spoke up.
You also told WVXU that an incident in 1991 when you were the victim of a crime played a role in your decision to run. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a pretty transformative event in my life. I was coming out of the women's meeting at church one evening, and I got mugged. The mugger wrestled my purse away, dragged me down the street for about 30 yards. It was pretty traumatic. The police came, and they were wonderful to me. They took care of me, contacted my husband. They drove my car home. But after I recovered from that incident, I decided that I needed to do something to make sure that women and girls especially were safe in our city, because I wasn't safe that night. And that planted the seed. Unfortunately, a couple days after I was mugged, I had a miscarriage. And thank you. It was, as you can imagine, was pretty traumatic too. But after I was able to start my family, that's when I started making plans to go to law school.
And I understand later you tried to become a prosecutor. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, in law school, we had an activity we called student court, and I was a student prosecutor because that was what my passion was. I did apply at the prosecutor's office, but I wasn't a member of the correct political party. I don't think I was a member of any political party at that time. I was a young mom and just trying to get my second career started. But I wasn't the right political party and didn't get an offer.
Were you told that you didn't get an offer because you were not the right political party?
No, I wasn't told that, but I can tell you I don't remember much about the interview except the question about me helping David Mann on his campaign.
David Mann, a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your opponent has experience as an assistant prosecutor, a judge, and now as prosecutor. What's your argument to voters that you're the better person for this job?
I have been a military officer. I got my MBA while I was on active duty. I was a public defender handling felonies for close to 6 years. I also served in the legislature fighting for victims and fighting against budget cuts for police and fire. I bring a blend of leadership, business sense, trial practice, and policy experience. And that is exactly what is needed in this office. The prosecutor is a leadership position. I got the best leadership training in the world in the United States Air Force. I don't think anyone can beat that. And we've already seen that she's failing as a leader. 5 overturned murder convictions. She's done nothing whatsoever to prevent that from happening again. We've already seen how she can politicize an incident and try to not do anything about it with that suspect who beat up the older couple.
And when you mention that suspect, that's the son of Steve Raleigh, who works at WCPO, and is the grandson of Cy Lease, the former Republican Hamilton County Sheriff.
Yes, yes. And there are probably others. But another thing that's a problem is that Melissa Powers, my opponent, refuses to debate me. We had a debate that was supposed to happen on Channel 5 on a date that she proposed, and I rearranged my schedule to do it, and she decided to drop out. She's also decided to drop out of our joint appearance to the Cincinnati Rotary Club, as well as the League of Women Voters candidate forum. She's afraid to be on the stage with me. If she's afraid of me, how can she be tough enough to run that office successfully? I don't think it's possible.
What specific policies and practices would you want to change if you win this election?
I have 4 things that are in my sights from the start. Train our lawyers, audit our work, double down on ethics, and modernize the office. And may I speak about each of those?
Please do.
Okay, so for training, every other prosecutor's office that I've interviewed or spoken with has a formal training program for their new prosecutors. I haven't found anyone in Cincinnati who can tell me there's one at this prosecutor's office. And that could explain some of the mistakes they're making, at least on the lower level offenses. But they need to be trained in trial practice, jury selection, the rules of evidence so they don't hide evidence again, integrity, all those things. Number two, to audit our work. Now, I think we need to look back at our most serious cases and after they're finished and just check and see how we did. It's a learning experience. Now, when I was in the Air Force, we audited our work every year. It was called a self-inspection, and then the Air Force Inspector General would come in every 2 to 3 years and do a deep dive. And I know it's different. We weren't dealing with victims of crime. We weren't dealing with people's liberty, but we were dealing with top secrets and nuclear war plans. So I knew how to follow the rules and be very, very careful and accurate. Number three is ethics. Our prosecutor's office has no ethics department. Some of the rural counties nearby us have an ethics department. I reached out as far as Scioto County. Very small population, only a handful of lawyers in their prosecutor's office. They have an ethics department, and we need one for two reasons. One, when our prosecutors are trying to figure out difficult situations such as, should I turn this evidence over to the defense or not? They need a safe place to go to learn about what is the best way to go forward. But number two, the prosecutor not only handles criminal prosecutions, but the prosecutor is the lawyer for the three county commissioners, the sheriff, Jobs and Family Services, Children Protective Services, Metropolitan Sewer District, every county-run agency. And with that, there are thousands of employees. The county commissioners are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into development in this county. Isn't it possible that a conflict of interest could arise, whether intentionally or not? Because of that, they need ethics training, and it's the prosecutor's responsibility to provide that and to help them with their work. But that's not happening. Look, in 2 years, we'll probably be renegotiating the Bengals lease. Don't we want to have someone with ethics on their mind when we're renegotiating that? Number four is to modernize the office. Look, the same guys have been running this office with the same sort of policies for 92 years. Their computer system's old. They're not using modern methods of tracking evidence that even Claremont County is well beyond us, well ahead of us in that regard. They don't have an HR department. They don't even have a maternity leave policy. It's 2024. They should have done that in 1974, but they didn't. Part of modernizing it is just installing professional guardrails, particularly for our hiring process. As my opponent knows very well, she did this herself. She hired three people who lost their elections, gave them jobs in her office, including making up a new job for one of them, costing us $132,000 plus benefits a year. It's an abuse of taxpayer dollars. I don't know if her hires were the best people or not, because there was absolutely no process. The jobs need to have, if we have an opening, I'm going to make sure we write job descriptions. We're going to post the job. We're going to collect resumes. We're going to interview. Because to do anything less than that is an abuse of taxpayer dollars.
I asked you about this ad a little earlier that your opponent's campaign has released. It also accuses you of being soft on crime. Do you think that's a jab at your past as a public defender?
I think it is a tired old phrase from a very old playbook to say that. The reality is I have been focused on public safety my entire adult life, starting with the military, working at a nuke base in North Dakota, where you've never seen cold till you've been to North Dakota in December. And as a public defender, you can't have criminal prosecutions if you don't have defense attorneys. It's part of the system. And I always felt that my job was absolutely as important as the prosecutor's just because of that reason. So I think I want people to know that I know exactly what the prosecutor's job is. It is to pursue justice with integrity, and I will get do everything I can to get justice for victims, for their families, for the accused, which sometimes means prison time. That's justice too. But we're going to do it honestly. We're going to do it with integrity so that I can sleep at night knowing that I did everything I can to keep our streets safe.
The Hamilton County Republican Party has said it is their top priority to make sure Melissa Powers is elected to this office, that she wins this campaign. They have said they'll spend millions of dollars to make that happen. How do you fight that, or what's your strategy?
I'm glad you brought up that she wants to get elected, because she was appointed. The voters never put her there, and she's afraid to talk to the voters next to me. And I think I'm trying to figure out, what is she so scared of? If she can't stand next to me, I mean, she's taller than me, so she'll look great on camera, I'm sure. As we know, she was a fashion model for a little while in her life, but I don't know what she's afraid of. But yes, this is their top priority, yet they won't let her talk to the voters. So I'm trying to figure that out. If she's that scared, and they can't trust what she's going to say, because she's never been elected.
What would your priorities be on day one if you win this race?
Well, on day one, if I win this race, I'll be at the prosecutor's office the next day, getting a tour. I'm assuming that my opponent will be gracious, like George W. Bush was. And George H.W. Bush was when they finished their office time. And the first thing I'm going to do is start developing our training program. I learned that in the military. The military shaped my life in incredible ways, and all of that has been very, very valuable to me and everything I've done. And training is always job one. You got to be ready to go into court.
Well, I have been talking with former State Representative Connie Pillich, who is the Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Prosecutor. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We went back to ask Connie Pillich a question that Prosecutor Melissa Powers addressed in her interview with us. So if there were to be a federal abortion ban, there could be concerns over what that would mean in Ohio and whether people who get abortions or people who give abortion care could be prosecuted. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's very, very possible that we will have a national abortion ban. The Republican running for Congress here, the Republican running for the United States Senate here, the Republican running for vice president, all have supported a national abortion ban. And my opponent said she would treat it like any other crime. And this is personal for me. As I said earlier, I was mugged when leaving the women's meeting at church, and I got roughed up and I had a miscarriage 2 days later. The idea that I could face criminal prosecution is flat out wrong and completely contrary to the will of Hamilton County voters last fall. I have been fighting for women's self-determination, autonomy, and safety all of my adult life. Just look at my record of involvement in my community, and I can give you that. But my opinion is that they are all falling back on extreme MAGA political talking points, and they're very out of touch with the people who live here. I can tell you, for me, I am not going to prosecute women for getting health care.
Up next, more on the prosecutor's race. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our conversations with candidates running for Hamilton County Prosecutor. Joining me in this recorded interview is Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers, the Republican candidate in the race. Thanks for being here, Prosecutor Powers.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
You come with experience as a trial prosecutor, as a juvenile court judge before you were tapped as county prosecutor. It's an office Republicans have held in Hamilton County for 92 years. Do you feel that it's important that it remain a Republican-held office?
Well, first of all, I want to say it's a great honor and privilege to be able to serve Hamilton County as the prosecutor. I have a wealth of experience and some of it that you highlighted, but there's more. I have 31 years, and then if you add in this last year and a half, 32 plus years of serving the community and keeping the community safe. I began my legal career in the prosecutor's office, and I was an assistant prosecutor. And I worked through every trial division, including the appellate division. While I was in the trial divisions, I tried cases as simple as traffic tickets and low-level misdemeanors. I've tried jury trials, but I've also tried some of the most egregious crimes, violent homicides. After that, I went into private practice, which I focused on civil litigation, criminal defense, and I even took public defender contract cases. After that, I became a municipal court judge for 10 years and then a juvenile court for 6 years. So I have a wealth of experience. I bring a unique perspective. I believe in the 92 years, there's been prosecutors in our county. I'm the first to have that breadth of experience from all angles and have a unique perspective that I bring to the office. I'm also the first female prosecutor. So I'm very proud of that fact that our county, Cincinnati, Hamilton County, we're moving forward really getting a lot of wonderful things that are happening within the office. Second thing I wanted to point out is I don't believe public safety is a political issue. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. If you or a loved one, Lucy, has the unfortunate circumstance to be involved as a victim of crime and you have somebody prosecuting your case and is going to court, you're not going to ask that prosecutor what their political affiliation is. All you want is to make sure that the case is handled properly by an experienced prosecutor and somebody that will bring accountability and justice associated with the offense. Victims of crime need this, and I don't think it matters what party affiliation you are. So I know that at the outset, the question is, should it remain in Republican hands? I think the community must know, Lucy, that it does not matter what the party affiliation is, because when it comes to your safety, everybody wants to feel safe, and everyone, I believe, deserves to be safe.
An experience you had when you were a prosecutor in the 1990s was pivotal for you. Can you tell us just a little bit about Joseph Paul Franklin and that experience?
You're correct. It was a very pivotal moment in my career, and it really changed me in many different ways, professionally, but also personally. In 1997, I began communicating with a serial killer who was a white supremacist serial killer. He came through Hamilton County in 1980. So this was a cold case. It was 17 years old. The Cincinnati police detectives, homicide detectives, never gave up on that case. And they always believed that he was responsible for that double homicide of killing two teenage boys walking to a pony keg to buy candy in the evening. This was done down on Reading Road in Bond Hill. He used a high-powered rifle, and he was positioned himself on a train trestle. So there was no forensic, no DNA, nothing to link him to the crime. And it was important. The only way to solve it was to get a confession. I began working with the homicide detectives and began writing to him. He was on death row in St. Louis, Missouri. And I eventually visited him on death row, met with him in person, where he confessed to the two homicides here in Cincinnati and solved that crime. He also confessed to four other murders to me, and one, a double homicide, occurred in West Virginia, where there was an innocent person that was serving time for that crime. He was wrongfully convicted. I took that information, contacted the authorities down there, and then testified on behalf of and to exonerate the wrongfully convicted person so that the right person was charged, which was Franklin. But what I really learned from this, not only is that we never want to, and always that's been throughout my career, you never want a wrongfully convicted person behind bars. You want to make sure that we correct those errors, or you never ever get to the point where somebody is wrongfully convicted. But what was also important to me was that I worked and solved on behalf of victims, the mothers of those children, to be able to bring closure and accountability so that they can heal. And I realize how important it is for accountability to all victims of crime, no matter how old the crime may be.
Your opponent, Connie Pillage, pointed to 5 murder convictions that have been overturned or vacated since December 2022. We have those records, and they include cases involving evidence that was withheld in Hamilton County. Ms. Pillage accuses you of doing nothing to prevent cases like this from happening again. How do you respond to that?
Well, number one, these were cases that were tried when I was not in the office. I was never involved in any of those cases. But I want to, as I said, throughout my career, you'd never want to see someone who is wrongfully convicted. And you must do, it undermines the trust in law enforcement. It undermines the trust that people have in the judiciary system. But you want to make sure that you are doing everything possible to make sure that that never happens. As far as the cases, they were not overturned. I mean, that's a legal term that is used when a higher court's involved. These are cases that were reviewed by higher courts and they were upheld. It was cases that were brought before a new trial judge just recently, and some of these cases are quite old, that then were set, the convictions were set aside and then given a new trial or a new hearing.
In our interview with your opponent, she also criticized the length of time it took you to appoint a special prosecutor in a case involving the grandson of former Sheriff Cy Lease. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that emphasizes her lack of experience and knowledge of how the whole system works, and also the role of the prosecutor. I think this case highlights it more than ever to your listeners, Lucy. First of all, I've never interacted with anyone on that case because that was a case that occurred in the city. It was handled by the city Cincinnati Police Department and the city prosecutor's office. This was considered in the beginning as a misdemeanor. As time went on through their investigation, if it became a felony, then it would be potentially be involved in, it would be a case that my office would handle. But I found out, I never interacted with anyone on the case, and I found out just like you and all your listeners, and as soon as it was became aware that this potentially could be a felony, a special prosecutor was appointed. But you don't do anything until you, I was contacted by the city prosecutor that it potentially was a felony. I had nothing to do with the length of time, the investigation. And as I said, I didn't interact with anyone on the case. But I understand through my experience, because I do not want the appearance of impropriety in any way. That's why a special prosecutor was appointed, because of my professional relationship throughout my career with Simon Lease, the grandfather, we would consider to be friends with him and his wife.
Let me ask you about this. There's been a lot of concern about whether people who get abortions or people who provide abortions will be prosecuted under the law in Ohio. What do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, Lucy, I want to make sure this is very clear and people understand that Ohio got it right. Ohio let this issue go to the voters. Every voter had the opportunity to speak. And in Ohio, the voters spoke very loud, very clear, overwhelmingly in favor of abortion with no restrictions whatsoever. So you can have an abortion all the way up to the 9th month. And that is part of our Ohio Constitution. That's very, very important because no federal ban can interfere with that constitutional right. Ohio Constitution will always supersede federal law. The second thing is, an abortion in Ohio is not a crime. It will never be a crime. And so there's no reason that this is an issue for the prosecutors to even be concerned about. As a prosecutor, I take an oath to follow the law and to support the Constitution of not only the United States, but also the state of Ohio. So I will continue to fight and enforce and protect that right for all women. I will be following the law. I am quite concerned that the misrepresentations we had about this issue, and I believe the reason, and particularly from my opponent, is not being honest about this, is because that this is an issue that people feel very, very strongly about, and that they are concerned that they could lose now this right that they voted for. And I think if people, if they can mislead, that they know that in the past, that this is an issue that people can be swept into office on. And I think that's what my opponent is thinking, that this is what she can run on in order to get elected. And I want to say very clearly that it is not, should have no bearing whatsoever on your decision on who you would want to have as your prosecutor. And I will defend the constitutional right for every woman, just like I will do on every other right.
You've accused your opponent in a recent ad of being soft on crime. How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, my leadership style is always public safety is first and being a voice for victims. So that's the emphasis here. And public safety is something that can never be taken for granted. It has a direct impact on everyone in our community. And it really makes a difference on whether or not, what direction our community will be going on in. You want to make sure that we are working towards making sure that everyone in every neighborhood feels safe to walk down the street, for parents to send their children to school, for anyone to go to a grocery store or a game. You want to make sure that people are safe. And so that's where the focus is on my office, is to do the right thing and to make sure that people are safe.
What would your priorities be on day one if you win this election?
Well, my priorities, I've accomplished a lot in the past 19 months, in a very, very short period of time. I started an elder justice unit, which is to attack, to go after anyone that wants to target a senior or an elderly person, whether they abuse, neglect, or target a senior for a crime, or go after them for fraud and financial exploitation. For the very first time, this office is doing outreach. This office is not just inside the courtroom. My vision is to have outreach into the community so that we can help others and make a direct impact and prevent crime before it happens. That is the main goal of the Elder Justice Unit. Also, I have a helpline, which is 946-SCAM. Any senior can call that helpline, or even a family member that is concerned about their elderly mother or father, that someone's taking advantage of them or not caring for them properly, can call my office. I have a team of investigators assigned to the unit. We can handle the complex financial white collar type crimes. We were working with banks. We partnered with all the senior agencies throughout the county to bring it into one umbrella and focus. And law enforcement knows that they can contact us as well. We work and partner with them on any type of elder case so that we can make sure that our seniors in our community are protected. Another thing I've done is started the gang unit. These are complex cases. They take a lot of time, a lot of work and investigation involved. And again, to be able to work towards keeping our streets safe, because gang violence can ruin cities. It causes citizens or businesses to flee neighborhoods. And I just don't want to allow gangs to take root here in Hamilton County. But we do have a very serious gang problem right now. And they're responsible a lot of times for a lot of the violence and retaliatory type crimes. I've had an emphasis on training. I want to have the best trained staff and hopefully the state and maybe even the country. So we've emphasized training for the prosecutors. They're getting the most recent training. They're also getting trained in-house from some of the senior trial attorneys with the younger ones. With the training, they're constantly every day in the courtroom is training. You learn so much every single day that you're in the courtroom, but also the case law and memorandums. Those are constantly, at least on a weekly basis, that every prosecutor is being updated on the current status of the law. But what my plan is, those are some of the highlights of what I've done. But my plan for the future if I am elected in November, is to expand my victim advocate program. I was at the ground floor back in 1992 that I started and helped design the victim advocate program that was being used and still to this day in the office. But I want to expand that program and bring the program into the community and have a longer direct relationship with our victims, even after the crime, to make sure that they're receiving the services for trauma, for example, that they need.
Okay. I've been talking with Hamilton County Prosecutor Melissa Powers, the Republican candidate for prosecutor. Thank you so much for your time today. Up next, more on the prosecutor's race. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We just heard from the two candidates running for Hamilton County prosecutor. I'm joined now in this recorded interview by University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven, who's here to provide some analysis. Thanks for being here, David.
Always a pleasure, Lucy.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. David, Connie Pillage made a claim that the prosecutor cheated. We spoke to several reporters who say that's an oversimplification and a matter of opinion. What can you tell us about this claim in relation to these five Hamilton County murder convictions?
Well, I do think that's an overstatement. A couple of these cases do involve withholding of evidence, which is, you know, I think by anybody's definition, cheating. And in some cases, you know, the defendants were, in effect, penalized by this decision for decades. So that's a pretty serious issue, and it does lead one to question what post-conviction review efforts are being made in the Hamilton County Prosecutor's Office. But some of these overturned decisions were, for example, for ineffective assistance of counsel, which is to say the defense failed the defendant, not the prosecutor failed in the process. So anytime you have an overturned case, it's obviously, you know, a burden for the prosecutor's office, and they have to assess, is this overturned because this is a person who's innocent, or is this overturned because the process wasn't followed correctly, and we may have prosecuted a guilty person who we have to, you know, consider recharging. But I would say overall, it's a pretty strong overstatement to lay the blame entirely at the prosecutor's office across these five cases.
And Prosecutor Powers points out that these convictions were before her time in office. Is that something that voters should consider too?
Well, that's true, though she obviously has worked in this office previously. And there is the question, as I said, of what efforts are you engaging in post-conviction review? You know, what efforts are you making proactively to find the cases where the prosecutor's office participated in withholding evidence? So, you know, in the Sapp case, for example, that was one where the prosecutor's office ultimately admitted their role in this. You know, that's really the question, you know, not how did this problem originate when some of these cases date back to the 90s, but what are you doing now to fix them? What are you doing now to find the instances of injustice in the office's work?
Connie Pillage also brought up a case involving the grandson of former Sheriff Cy Lease, who was also a former Hamilton County prosecutor. Pillage says Prosecutor Powers waited too long to appoint a special prosecutor in the case. Prosecutor Powers says this was originally the city's case, and that accounts for the timeline. What do you know about how this was handled?
Well, this is an unusual case because, as you just said, the prosecutor had ties to the defendant's family, close ties to the defendant's family. The defendant's family, you know, is backing the prosecutor in the race. So, I mean, that should be, you know, the ultimate red flag in terms of wanting to distance yourself from having any responsibility for the case. So I do think it's a little bit unusual. They waited more than a month to bring in a special prosecutor when, you know, the video evidence was fairly clear this was going to be, you know, this was not going to be a case that was going to be a simple misdemeanor, you know, that was beneath the county prosecutor's purview. So I do think for everybody involved, I mean, it's a protection not just for those directly involved in the case. It's a protection for the county prosecutor to bring in a special prosecutor so that you can't be ultimately, you know, considered to have shown favoritism. You know, for your own, you know, for the sort of sanctity of your own office, you should be doing this, not just for the protection of those who are directly involved in the case.
So you're saying even though it was officially a city case in the beginning, the video evidence was so clear that the prosecutor should have been ready or to appoint that
right.
special prosecutor right away?
It seems highly unlikely that this case was going to fail to reach her desk. And in that case, you know, evaluating it, you know, has to be done off site because as you said, you know, the prosecutor's, you know, political life is too closely entwined with the defendant's family.
Connie Pillage also made several statements about what she would do if elected. She said she would start formal training for prosecutors, that she would work to audit the work of the prosecutor's office, and would start an ethics department. Are none of those things in place currently?
Well, I think it's kind of a minor overstatement to imagine that the prosecutor's office is just out there spending in any way it pleases. It, of course, is subject to audit by the county auditor, and ultimately it's subject to audit by the auditor of Ohio. So to suggest that they could do more audits or that they could, you know, they could have a different kind of regime is, you know, reasonable enough. But to suggest that they are, you know, kind of immune from oversight would be an overstatement. You know, I think the way most prosecutors' offices work, they have, in effect, an informal training regimen for, you know, for new hires. It's not, you know, it's not like a classroom of how to be a assistant prosecutor. It's, you know, a mentoring program. And I think what Pillage is really calling for is to formalize some things that already happen, you know, that there's no way for the office to exist without them happening. But I do think the idea that you have a specific in the ethics, you know, office is something that would make more clear what somebody is supposed to do in the office if they do see something that's amiss, you know, rather than having any uncertainty about, is this a problem for, you know, for HR? Is this a problem for, you know, the head prosecutors in the office? So, you know, and again, I think this relates to, you know, what do you do when the prosecutor's office withholds evidence? You know, do you have a formal structure to review cases? Do you have a formal structure for folks within and outside the office to report something that might be amiss?
And I do want to note that Prosecutor Powers in an interview with us said that, you know, she talked about the training of new prosecutors. So she said that's happening, but you're saying it's a question of whether it's how formalized that training program is.
Right. I mean, of course you have to, you know, you don't hire a person one day out of law school and put them in the courtroom, you know, but that doesn't, you know, I think this may be a semantics question more than anything else. You know, that they, of course they have a, you know, sort of an onboarding process, but they don't necessarily have, you know, new prosecutor school where, you know, it's formalized, you know, for this many weeks we're going to do this and this many weeks we're going to do that. So, you know, some of these suggestions, and I think the auditing falls in the same category. Of course, these things are happening. Pillage is basically calling for them to be more formalized and regimented.
We asked Prosecutor Powers about whether abortions and abortion providers could be prosecuted in Hamilton County. She said that would not be the case even if a national abortion ban becomes law, because the state's constitution takes precedence and prosecution isn't allowed under the Ohio Constitution. Is that correct?
All right. Now, that is a bit of a whopper because, as Powers well knows, you know, there's federal supremacy in the United States, and whatever the federal laws, you know, that are enacted would immediately override any law or, in this case, state constitutional provision. Now, it's a semantics question in terms of those prosecutions would begin at the federal level, you know, in this scenario where there's a federal ban. But to suggest that, you know, abortion couldn't be criminalized on the national level is a wild overstatement. And, you know, as she well knows, that ultimately federal law supersedes state law.
Even state law, but it supersedes even something in the state constitution?
Yes, even something in the state constitution, because state constitutions, you know, for all intents and purposes, are also lawmaking devices. You know, as you know, Ohio voters can go to the ballot and literally specify the, you know, the address of casinos in the state constitution. So those, you know, while those are supreme to Ohio law, you know, ultimately the federal law supersedes all of that. And so, you know, you can't legalize something in a state that the federal government has declared illegal. Now, would this be messy, and would there be fights over, you know, how this situation would play out in terms of prosecutions? Absolutely. But to suggest that Ohioans have immunized themselves against what happens nationwide is absolutely absurd, and she well knows that.
We asked both candidates about the Republican Party holding the prosecutor's office in Hamilton County for the past 92 years. Prosecutor Powers pointed out that when she's working with victims, they're not thinking about whether she's a Republican or a Democrat. She's just working to help them. What do you think about that? In some ways, is this not about partisan politics?
Well, ultimately, everything's about partisan politics. But, you know, is this an office that actually touches people's lives? Absolutely. And are there ways to do this work that aren't particularly partisan? Absolutely. But we know, and we've seen this across the state, Democrats in these offices tend to take a different approach than Republicans. And, you know, I think a good parallel is with Franklin County, where Republicans held the prosecutor's office forever, and Democrats won it in 2020. And now in Franklin County, which is Columbus, Republicans aren't even competing for the office. They've basically given up on it. And I think Hamilton County is in a very similar situation, where if the Democrats win this, I would look for far less serious efforts from Republicans in future elections, because it's a Democratic county. And one by one, you know, and we see this on the Republican side in the counties that surround Cincinnati. You know, when you have a dominant party, that dominant party ultimately scoops up every office in the county.
Well, I have been talking with University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven. Thank you so much for your time today, David.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.